Welcome to the Shofar Stellenbosch Sermon Series. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our sermons are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.
Die Lüfte von Jesus ist wunderbar, ist wunderbar, ist wunderbar. Die Lüfte von Jesus ist wunderbar, ist wunderbar für mich. Halleluja! Those who can't sing in Afrikaans, you won't go to heaven. Because heaven will be speaking Afrikaans. Don't you think so? Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Let's read Genesis 25. Genesis 25. Genesis 25, reading from verse 19. The story of Jacob and Esau. This is the account of Abraham's son, Isaac. Abraham became the father of Isaac. And Isaac was 40 years old when he married Rebekah, daughter of Bethuel, the Aramean, from Padan Aram, and sister of Laban, the Aramean. Isaac prayed to the Lord on behalf of his wife, because she was barren. The Lord answered his prayer, and his wife Rebekah became pregnant, and babies jostled each other within her. And she said, why is this happening to me? So she went to inquire of the Lord. The Lord said to her, two nations are in your womb, and two peoples from within you will be separated. I don't know what type of English is that. Two peoples. And two peoples from within you will be separated. And one people, wow. That's English, isn't it? One people will be stronger than the other, and the older will serve the younger. When the time came for her to give birth, there were twin boys in her womb. The first to come out was red. And I think it was a white person. And his whole body was like a hairy garment. So they named him Esau. After this, his brother came out, with his hand grasping Esau's heel. So he was named Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when Rebekah gave birth to them. In other words, 20 years she was barren. The boys grew up, and Esau became a skillful hunter, a man of open country, while Jacob was a quiet man, staying among the tents. Isaac, who had a taste for wild game, loved Esau, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Once, when Jacob was cooking some stew, Esau came in from the open country, famished. He said to Jacob, Quick, let me have some of that red stew. I'm famished. That is why he was called Edom. Jacob replied, First, sell me your birthright. Look, I'm about to die. Esau said, what good is the birthright to me? But Jacob said, swear to me first. So he swore an oath to him, selling his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau some bread and some lentil stew. He ate and he drank and then got up and left. So Esau despised his birthright. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your precious word. We pray that, O God, Spirit of God, will speak into our hearts and direct this word into our hearts. We pray that the word will come with power, although delivered in weakness. So we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Soon after I got saved, I struggled. The first missionary bought me shoes because I wore my first pair of shoes when I was 22 years old. You should have seen me that time wearing my first pair of shoes at the age of 22. And I was smiling at my shoes, and I was walking like a robot because I'd never worn shoes before. And my feet were like a duck because they've never been inside shoes. And so he had to buy a little bit of oversize. And I looked awkward. But I was smiling because of my first pair of shoes. He bought me two pairs of trousers and three shirts. So I had, you know, some shoes. So I started preaching with passion, with all my heart out. And I would go like from here, travel from one city to other, nonstop. I was a young man who broke bridges behind. I was a young man who go from city to city. I remember carrying my big accordion and my backpack and a few shirts just to go and preach the gospel. And I would take the loudspeaker with two, four batteries, and I'll put the microphone under the accordion. And I'll be the worship leader at the same time playing the accordion, doing everything. I'll be the preacher, doing counseling on my own. Then later when I got married, I warned my wife that if you marry me, I live a life of traveling, preaching the gospel. And she said, yes, I don't care, I'll marry you. And she married me, you know. We started traveling together, sometimes sleeping under a tree. Following morning, we go to preach the gospel. Cook from the jam tin, cook our pap and relish from the same, and we put the relish on the khaki newspaper. And we cook some pap. Eat from the newspaper, and went on preaching. And later on, she became pregnant, had our child, first child, and we put the baby in the suitcase as a baby coat, and put some mosquito net over it with a little sticks and so on, and so our two children grew up from the suitcase. And but we were excited. We didn't care where we slept. I loved preaching the gospel. Then one day God blessed us with a baki. So we'd put our baby in front seat, and my wife would sleep at the back of the baki. And so we traveled from one place to the other. And the missionaries would come and give me some, you know, some jacket. Now, we called them missionary jackets because they were not my size. They were oversized, and my hand would sink, you know, the whole hand. And, you know, the hand will be inside and the shoulder will be almost half there. because the person who gave me was a big man with a big tummy. So this end will go right round. But I went preaching with those big jackets. And some would give me trousers, but they were small size. And would go up to here. We went on preaching. Someone would give me shoes, but shoes which were almost laughing in front. And so I would tie with wire, you know, for people to know. So I was careful not to kneel down to pray because there was nothing underneath. They would see my socks. So when people were kneeling, I would kneel against the wall that people don't see, my socks. So that's how I preached the gospel, because the things were cheap. They were cheap, the things they gave me. But now tonight, I want to talk about buying the future. The future is on sale. You go in town, especially to the Asian shops, they sell all the time. Their sale doesn't stop. It's sale for Christmas, sale in March, sale in February. It's sale all the time. And now we in Malawi, we say that if you buy Chinese things, they are not durable. They are not strong. They break easily. There's a joke which is going on in Malawi that a mother stopped her daughter not to marry a Chinese man. But this girl said to her parents, "I love my Chinese boyfriend." But the parents says, "No, my daughter, Chinese things don't last." So she got married. When they got married, they had their first baby. And after 3 months, the baby died. And the mother said, "I told you, Chinese things don't last." So that's a joke which is going in Malawi now. But there are things which are cheap. When they are cheap, they don't last long. Even some cars or clothes, if you buy a cheap one, doesn't last long. And so you have to buy something which is durable, something strong. And so here this story, buying the future. The future is on sale. Cheap things don't last long. No one has ever lived in the past. Are we together? Nobody has someone ever lived in the past. The past is in your memory. Right now, the past is in your memory. What you did yesterday, those who are coming from the camp, the soccer I was talking about was yesterday, and is in the memory. And no one has ever lived in the present, because just a minute ago, it is already past. Are we together? A second ago is already past. So no one has ever lived in the past. No one has ever lived in the present. We all are looking in the future. So my theme this evening is buy the future. Buy the future. Get hold of the future. And because here in the word which we have just read is that no one has lived in the present, because every second that ticks, it is already past. And no one has ever lived in the future. We are all striving to get to the future, because the future is in your imagination. You are just imagining about the future. Those who are in love, about to get engaged, they are counting days for the future. Oh, 1, 2, 3, 4, next month, next week, you know. You are counting, but it's all in your imagination. It's recorded. You are displaying already in your mind what you want to do in the future, but you have never been there. But I like from the scriptures here we've just read, intelligent people, very intelligent people, always take the past and the present. They design the future. When you take the past and take the present, you design your destiny, your future. What you want to be, what you want to do, you take the past, the experience of the past and the present, you put them together, you design your future. But stupid people don't do that. They just go by the minute. Are we together? They go by the minute. They nothing. They plan for the future. So when you take the past and the present, design your destiny, design your future, because now the Bible says is the time of salvation. That's what the Bible says. Now is the time of salvation. Today is the day of salvation. But many people don't design their future. They are procrastinating. You are saying tomorrow, tomorrow, tomorrow. And tomorrow never comes. And each time you go tomorrow, tomorrow, it's like you are walking on the edge of this platform. You are blindfolded. When you come to the edge, you fall down. Suddenly you have fallen down. So the devil says, you will do it tomorrow, you will do it tomorrow, and tomorrow, and tomorrow, tomorrow. All what the devil is planning for your life is to fall into hell forever and ever and ever. He doesn't like you to design your future. He wants you to play around. He wants to tell you, you are still young. Your blood is still strong. You will do it next year. Or after next year. But you know, people who are intelligent, they take the past, all the experience of the past. What happened in the past? Your friend wanted to leave, he died. That friend of yours who wanted to leave died on a car accident. That's the past. And God is telling you, if a young man passed away, you design your future. Make that future where you buy the future. And so that's what this chapter is teaching about. Let's look at the first drama. Isaac was 40 years old when he married Rebecca. You know, I like in those days, like all these guys in Genesis chapter 4, 5, when he was 169, at 169, he was still a bachelor. Can you imagine? But our boys at 19, I want to get married at 19. I want to get married. I'm in love. But at 169, he was still a bachelor. And this Isaac, at 40, he was still a bachelor. Still young, you know, designing his future. And so, at 40, he marries Rebecca. But Rebecca, for 20 years, she was barren. For 20 years, she was barren. I think 2 years ago, I was preaching at the conference somewhere there. What was that conference? A lady came and said, Brother Steve, we've been so many years in our marriage without a child. So I said, well, I'll pray you. How many children do you want? So we prayed. And when we prayed, that month she conceived. And now they showed me the baby. And I was in Egypt, a general manager of the bank for 15 years. They didn't have a child. And I took one lady. I said, please, can you help me to pray for this couple? So this lady laid her hands on a bell, and I laid hands on the head of that lady. pronounce every blessing of the Lord for her to have a child. Now they have got three children after 15 years. So Rebecca, for 20 years, she had no child. So Isaac prayed to the Lord. He said, God bless me. Like Hannah prayed for a child, God blessed her with a child, Samuel. You know, remember this story. And then the Lord answered the prayer of Rebecca, his wife, and they became pregnant. Now, when a lady was like that, maybe, you know, in the Jewish area, it's a taboo not to have a child. Or even when other ladies are laughing, you think they are laughing at you. That's what you think. Maybe she was embarrassed, but that time Rebecca became pregnant, like Sarah, almost at the age of 90. And now she starts walking in style. Ay la 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 la, wah! She was walking in style, you know, rubbing her tummy, you know. Oh my, she was in style, she was so excited that she was expecting children. But during that time, the babies jostled each other within her. When they jostled inside, said, this has never happened. Here in Stellenbosch or South Africa, I've never heard when a baby, you know, start kicking inside. They say, something is wrong. It's normal. But for Rebecca, when the children jostled inside, said, something is strange. And so she went to inquire from the Lord, not Sangoma. Are we together? She didn't go to the Sangomas. She went to the Lord. Amen? She went to the Lord. Men of our African people, now they go to wrong people to inquire. But she inquired from the Lord. Why is this happening? That's why that broken English is coming there, whether it's right English. Two peoples. They are within you. And one people. Hallelujah. I don't know where. So two peoples are within you. In other words, two nations are within you. So can you imagine, as Rebecca walked inside, there were two nations. There were two nations. A woman carrying two nations. And then the younger will be over the older one. And so the two peoples were born. Time of birth, the twin boys were born. And as when they were born, the elder one, Esau, was red and hairy. Red, red. After this, brother came out with his hand grasping the leg of his elder brother. And so they were born. Now, my point number one here is that Esau became a skillful hunter, a man of the open country. That is what Esau was. He became a skillful hunter in the open country. Now, he was hunting animals because Isaac loved game meat. He loved meat outside there, the bucks, the bush bucks, and so on. He loved that. Like we Afrikaners, we love biltong. Me, I'm an official Afrikaner. Amen? Whether you like it or not, ekboer, man. Is that right, Afrikaans? Yeah. When I'm in Ethiopia, I'm a gurage. Yeah. When I'm in Egypt, I'm Upper Egypt. Yeah, so he was a skillful hunter going out there to hunt for animals. Now, the open country is a dangerous place. There is no protection. There is no security. He was always going in the open country. This is a picture of many, many young people who go in the open country to hunt. But what do they hunt? They hunt for girls. They hunt for beer. They hunt for things that don't give them eternal life. They hunt for drugs. In the open country, there's no protection. In the open country, it's dangerous. God is not there. Where you live alone without God, your life is in danger. So Esau was in the open country, hunting all the time. Hunting was his life. Many young people hunt for things that don't give him eternal life. Acceptance of peer pressure. Wanted to be accepted among your peers. So young people do the things they shouldn't do because they want to buy, you know, acceptance. So I was doing things because I wanted to buy acceptance. So when I was accepted in the gang, later on I became the gang leader myself. Now, becoming a gang leader, you had to fight all the 40 boys. When you defeat each one of them, then you are a leader. Now, when you become a leader, you must be the most ruthless among your friends. The word kindness never existed in your mouth. Word mercy didn't exist in your vocabulary. I didn't have mercy. Each time when I was angry, if I pulled out a knife, I would use it. If I pulled out a gun, I would shoot. That's how a young man I became. Because I wanted acceptance. I was in the open country, hunting for things that didn't profit my life. I was like Esau. And how many young people? They are like Esau. Even elderly people who are hunting over there without God, without salvation, without forgiveness, without the blood of Jesus. So this young man was hunting in the country, like the prodigal son. He left his father's home into the far country, leaving Jerusalem, leaving, you know, his father's home. In the far country, the sheep which was lost in the far country, in the bushes, in the mountains. Many people are like Esau. The spirit of Esau grabs many young people these days. You go around, so much is happening. And so that was the story of Esau. But then he went hunting. He was doing all what he wanted, but I like the book in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 10. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 10 says, I denied myself nothing. I denied myself nothing. My eyes desired, I refused my heart for no pleasure. You know, he allowed his eyes to look wherever he wanted to look. And you see people in the far country like Solomon. Solomon, he couldn't stop looking at women until he had 1,000 women. A person with two hands, but with 1,000 women. Well, how do you do with it? Man, you have a big job of kissing them one by one after, you know. God gave me two hands. God gave him two hands. He gets 1,000. He gave two oranges to a woman, but you have 1,000. And so that was what Solomon is talking about. Says, I denied nothing to my eyes. What he wanted to see, he saw. My heart took delight in all my work. And this was the reward of for all my labor. Yet, when I surveyed all that my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless. Everything was meaningless. I had a friend in Malawi. He is a journalist, one of the brilliant journalists. But before he got saved, he had put a target that in his lifetime, he wanted to sleep with 1,000 women. So he had a notebook. He would write the name of the first one, the second one. So he got up to 63. So one day, he had the best friend of his wife wanting to sleep with her. But as he was planning to go and sleep with her at her house, his little girl, only about 2 years old, the little girl was 2 years old, was playing on the veranda. And this little girl was singing a Malawian chorus. Where will you spend eternity? Where will you spend eternity if you die today? Is calling. So the father went out and said, hey, you shut up. I want to sleep. So the little girl zipped her mouth. 15 minutes. Oh, okay. 15 minutes. Thank you so much. 15 minutes. Thank you. So he started singing, oh, where will you spend? And then he said, sharp. And then a friend of the little girl came. They became two. So they were playing with toys. And the two girls forgot that, shut up. They started singing again. Where will you spend eternity? And they say, hey, man, I told you to shut up. They keep quiet. But after a while, they started again. Where will you spend eternity? You know? So this man in his bedroom kneels down, starts crying bitterly before God and accepted Jesus through the singing of his little girl. Accepted Jesus. And if you want to know the most powerful preacher, it is this man. He says, I was saved through my two-year-old girl who was singing, where will you spend eternity? And that day, he bought the future. That day, he bought the future. So the Bible says, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? That's why I always say to my wife, don't fight over things. Don't fight over things that are breakable. Those are things, they must not separate you with the kingdom of God. Things must not separate you with you and me. We must have strong bond of relationship. I told you last time when I was here that when my wife had got this almost brand new car, she was driving at the gate and she mashed the headlamp of the car. So when I came out from my preaching ministry, I saw my wife very quiet. So I came in, I said, are you sick? What's wrong? I said, oh, nothing. I said, oh, no, dear, you know, I don't like this word, nothing. Tell me, what is it? Said, go and see outside. I said, see what? The car. So I went and saw this headlamp smashed. And almost in Malawi culture, I mean, the car currents, it's almost half a million. So I came in, I said, honey, what is that? He said, there's a TV, of course. And what is that? S2. And what is this? Oh, chairs and sofas. And so all these, what are these? Said, things. I said, honey, even a car is a thing. Don't lose your peace because of things. Why lose your peace over things? So do many families, they lose their peace, their joy over things. They fight over things. When the way the bed is set or the sofas are set, those are things. Do you know people quarrel over things? People divorce over things. And so I said to my wife, never lose your peace because of things. And so I said, oh, if it were you, then I would lose my peace because I can't replace you. But these things, we can replace them. But for you, I can't replace you. If you die, I can't replace you. And, you know, even now, you know, if you die, to start, you know, proposing now, it is uphill. So I would rather remain single all my life. And so, Jacob, number two, Jacob was a quiet man staying among tents. Now, people who stay among tents, they sit down in the tents. They start designing their future. Because they are seated quietly in the presence of God, they start designing their future. They take the past, the present, start designing, what will I do in the future? Though meanwhile, while he's in the tent, he's cooking his stew. And that stew, mom, oof. The aroma is delicious. And at that time, Esau arrives famished. He said, please give me some of this stew. I'm famished. And listen what he says. I'm about dying. Who has died just for one day without food? He says, I'm about dying. Do you know many young boys, many young girls have become pregnant? Because a young man came to the girl, I'm dying, I'm famished. And the girl said, oh, okay. And she became pregnant. Because the boy says, I'm famished. Some they go to the drug dealers. Hey, I want drugs. I'm famished. How that edge of the drug inside you, it pushes you, and you become a slave of those drugs. At first, when you are starting, you are in control. But now it is the drugs that are in control of your life. You can't stop. You are trying to stop. But you are in shackles of these drugs. You can't stop. You can't stop this sin of sex because you are in shackles of this demon of sex. I'm famished. And so he says, please give me of the stew. And then Jacob, who was clever, said, there must be a deal here. An exchange. He said, what is it? Give me your birthright. If you give me your birthright, I'll give you this shoe. Oh, okay, no, I don't care about my birthright. Just, I'm famished, about dying. Give me your birthright. How many young people have sold their birthrights because of one little sin? Just one little sin, you sold your birthright. You are what you are now, empty inside here. Or maybe you are born again, but you have no power. You have no zeal, no passion. All these powers are just fighting up against your life. The anxiety, the fear of tomorrow. You are so afraid of tomorrow. You are afraid, how will you make it? Can I make it? You are so terrified. Man, tonight is your day. Tonight is your day. Hallelujah. Tonight is your day. God wants to do something in your life. For too long, the devil has played with you. Enough is enough. You say, God, I can't go on like this. For several times, I've been trying to commit suicide. I've been trying because of anxiety. I can't face the future. Hey, when you have Jesus, you can face tomorrow. Hallelujah. When you have Jesus, you can face tomorrow. For me, I was afraid even the next hour. I was terrified to face the next hour. I didn't know where I found food. But also what frightened me when evening came to go back to my bridge, to go and sleep under a bridge. And under that bridge, I don't know how many times snakes could have killed me. One time I took a knife to kill a boy who was sleeping next to me, not knowing that it was a snake. And to wake up in the morning, you see that snake going over your belly, you freeze. That snake going over your belly into the bush. And now when I look back, I said, God, you really loved me. You wanted me to save you. How many times those poisonous snakes could have killed me? But God had a plan for my future. God had a plan for my future. And there's someone here. God has a plan for this country. South Africa is rotten. Is looking for a young man, a young girl who will stand up by the future. Let the rest done by God. And when God picks you up, you are going to be somebody in this nation. I don't know whether he wants you to be the president. I don't know whether he wants you to be a cabinet minister or a police officer or an engineer. I don't know. But let God touch your life, move your life from this level to another level. You will see what God can do in your life. If God could pick a Stephen, very poor, uneducated, didn't know how to write. I'm called Stephen Lungu. I didn't know my identity. I'm called Lungu. Lungu is not my father's surname. I wish I was called by my real father's surname. But because I didn't know my identity, the only name I knew was Stephen. But I thank God today. God picked me up and made me what I am today. Hallelujah. Now as I come to conclusion, we conclude many times, don't worry. When he sold out the future, remember the story. When he sold out the future, then an instant incident happens. Isaac said, get me meat, Esau, in the bush. I want to bless you. I want to lay the hand of blessing upon your lives. So Esau goes to the bush to hunt. But Rebecca had heard the conversation, so she makes Jacob wear the skin of the goat or sheep and have to have hairy hands because the father was blind. So she cooks for Jacob that stew to go and give it to Isaac. And so Isaac came and said, come here, Esau, I want to bless you. So Jacob comes, he feels him. He said, oh, yes, yeah. He feels him, all the body. He says, yeah, but there's something wrong here. The voice is of Jacob. The body is of Esau. Two in one. He was two in one. The voice was of Jacob. The body was of Esau. And we have many young people like that. Two in one. But the story, to make it short, Isaac blesses Jacob on that day. All the blessings are poured. He didn't bless him with the left hand, but with the right hand. Because God, when he delivers you, he uses the right hand. When God blesses you, the right hand. When God takes you out from your anxiety, from your fear of tomorrow, from all your problems, he uses the right hand. This is what he's going to use tonight in your life. And so when he blessed him that day, immediately after pronouncing the blessing, Esau arrives. And he says, Dad, I've come with the meat and sodas. Who are you? He says, I'm Esau. He says, I'm sorry. Who was this I blessed? Oh, my young brother. Oh, but, already the boy had taken the bless. That transaction of the stew, Jacob was buying the future. Jacob bought the future. When Esau arrived, the future was already bought. He became almost a slave of his young brother because he sold his birthright. Tonight, you can say, God, for a long time, my future has been taken. My birthright was taken, stolen. But tonight, I want to surrender my life 100% to Christ. I want to surrender all my life to God. I thank God for all the people who came forward. Praise God. But maybe there's still someone here who say, God, I've never bought the future. I want to buy it tonight. Because today is the day of salvation. Because at the cross, Jesus stretched out his hands. He stretched out his hand. He's like a father, a mother. When the, you know, to a baby, you don't need to say, come, come. No, you just stretch your hands and you see the baby surrendering. That's what God wants you to do tonight. Because the hands of God are stretched out to you tonight. Let the miracle happen in your life. All that what you have been buying in the world, let it end tonight. Enough is enough. You say, God, tonight, I'm surrendering my life. Oh God, the devil has played with my life for too long. But tonight, I'm buying the future. When you buy the future, it says, blessed are those whose hearts are clean, because they shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now, when you have your heart is committed to God, man, you have started a step towards heaven. Hallelujah. Are you that person who want to buy the future tonight and say, God, enough is enough. Tonight I surrender my life. Maybe you are powerless as a preacher, or as a Christian. You have no enthusiasm to testify about Jesus, to talk about Jesus. As I said last time, many Christians have got foot and mouth disease. They can't talk for Jesus. They can't go for Jesus. But tonight you said, enough is enough. I am committing my life to Jesus tonight. And you see a miracle. For me, 7 o'clock in the morning, I was a sinner, a gang leader, a murderer, a drug addict. 8 o'clock in the evening, I came to that big tent, about to kill everybody. That night, I heard the message with the powerful finger of God pointing in our life. I walked from the back with my AK-47. Some of you have only a handkerchief in your pocket. But me, I had my AK-47 when I was coming forward. I had my landmines. I had my bombs with me when I came forward. I had all my drugs, the LSD, the marijuana, with me that night when I came forward. But, you know, it was not a repentance of half-half. No. Some people, they want to go to Jesus with one leg there, one leg there. You can't walk like this. God, when you surrender to God, give all to God. If you want to go to be the devil, give yourself to the devil. But tonight, I want to invite you to the open hands of our Lord Jesus. Because this is Jesus week. As Jesus week, he said, you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people. Now, God wants to make you his people. He wants to make you another people. Are we together? He wants to make you another people of Jacob, not of Esau. So if you want to be another people, that nation that belongs to God, join that nation, join that family of our Lord Jesus. His hands are ready to accept you. Those pierced hands are ready to welcome you. I was welcomed as a dirty sinner. But that night, on my day of repentance, that was the end of drugs. That was the end of killing. That was the end of gangs. That was the end of knives. That was the end of my revolvers, my AK-47. That was the end of all my life. And that was the end of my horrible language from my mouth. I used to speak, every second word was a bad language. But God cleansed my mouth that day, gave me a new language. And so I became a brand new Stephen. And from that day, I was unstoppable. Nobody could stop me from that day. And I was in trouble even with my church, because when I was unstoppable, I could, even my pastors, you know, were wearing these dog collars. I would challenge, are you born again? I said, oh. You know, I had no wisdom. I was like that goat which comes out from the crow. It runs quickly, right round, but the big goats walk gently. Because they have the experience, you know. But the little ones, they will go out and run over. The mothers are, now you get tired quickly, soon. You know, as they grow up, they go to the pace of their parents. So what I'm inviting you here, when Jesus comes into your life, when you buy the future tonight, your name will be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Tonight, your name will be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And that timidness will go away, that fear, it will go away. God will give you the courage to speak about him, because you are in love with Jesus. Shall we stand?
Remember that our sermons are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.